Well, good morning, True North fam. If you are excited to be in the house that Jesus Christ built, make some noise for me, would you, this morning? Yeah. Yeah, hey, if you're joining with us maybe for the first time, let me just say a special welcome to you. We love getting to meet new people around here. And more than anything, we love getting to meet to introduce people to our Savior, Jesus Christ. He has transformed us and changed us. He has poured out his grace, his love, his mercy on us. He is imparting his truth into us that's changing our lives every single day. And we want that for you. And so if you are joining with us for the first time, I'd love to meet you back in our welcome space after the service. Or better yet, we have something today on the second Sunday of each month that we do called Discover True North. It happens right over here in our True North hub. You see the little sign on the door there. It says Discover True North. We'll have some folks over there who'd love to meet you from our staff and from our leadership, introduce you to our church a little bit, get to know you a little bit. Would love for you to take that step this morning. Want to let you know, this is going to be a little bit different kind of a Sunday. It's one of my favorite Sundays of the year. We call this Sunday Next Step Sunday, and it's also our Vision Sunday. At the beginning of the year, one of the things I love to do is just take some time to talk about who we are as a church and where we're going as a church. And so if you're new today, this is also a really great opportunity for you to be here and to hear about the direction that True North Church is going to be taking here in 2026. I want to let you know a couple of things before we dive into the message this morning. Number one, our budget is set for 2026. We are excited about what God is doing around here, all that he's doing in and through our church. We're excited to be able to present that to you today. And so those budgets will be available back at our welcome desk today if you want to grab one of our budgets and take a look at what that's going to look like for 2026. But couple of things I want to share on that. Number one, first and foremost, I just want to say thank you to everybody who's giving so faithfully here to True North. Without your faithful giving, we can't do any of the things that we do around here. I believe, are reaching people. We are making a tremendous impact, not only in Pittsburgh, but around the world because of your faithful generosity and your faithful giving. And so for those who have been giving faithfully, thank you so much for all that you are doing. I know that's a sacrifice, and we're so grateful for that here. I also want to let you know, as we plan for a new budget, the budget has gone up. We're a growing church. We have growing needs. And I want to throw out there just a challenge for you to seek the Lord and how you might participate with us in giving to our church and to our ministries here. If you've never given to True North before, maybe just take some time to talk to the Lord and say, what might he have you give? How might he have you steward the financial resources that he's given to you to help us fuel our mission? Right? And so if you have never given before, let me just give you the two easiest ways that you can give here. One, we do have a box located in the back of our worship space on our Bridge the Gap campaign wall. There's a black box there. You can drop cash or checks in there anytime. And then we also have an online giving platform that you can go to our website and check that out there. And one of the things that I encourage people to do, and maybe you've never done this before, but I want to encourage you again to pray about what this might look like. One of the things that's really helpful for us is for people to set up what we call recurring giving. And so you can set up a monthly gift, a weekly gift, however you want to set it up in our giving platform. And then each month, that number will get deducted and it will come to us. And what helps us tremendously is to be able to see from month to month how much recurring giving is coming in. It just helps us to plan, helps us to budget. And so if you would consider, prayerfully consider doing that as we head into this year. Again, we would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Second thing I want to share again before we dive into the message this morning is that today is our Next Step Sunday. What is that? Well, we have a lot of people here in our church that are new. We have a lot of people who maybe haven't really taken that next step beyond coming on Sunday to get more involved here. And one of the things that we believe in big time around here is that you're going to grow more in your faith. You're going to be challenged more in your faith when you take steps beyond Sunday. And so there's a lot of different opportunities here at True North for you to take to get more involved in our church and begin to see God work in your life in greater ways. And so we've got some tables set up back in our lobby space. And after the service, I want to invite you to go back there, check out those tables, and look at some of the opportunities to take a next step here at True North. We're going to bribe you with some donuts. We'll have some donuts back there. Grab one of those and then walk around and check out the different opportunities. I do want to highlight a couple of things that are new and that I really want to make sure we understand exactly what they are. So we're going to be offering two short-term studies here starting up in just a couple of weeks. One of them is called Financial Peace. And that is an opportunity for anybody in the room who maybe wants to get better at your finances. Maybe you've got lots of student loans you want to pay off. debt you want to pay off. Maybe you want to learn more about what it looks like to be a steward of the resources God has given you. And that's going to be a tremendous opportunity for you to do that. And so I really encourage you, check that out. Consider taking that course here with us. I think it's going to be 4 to 6 weeks, 8 weeks max, something like that. Another opportunity is we're going to have a Gospel Essentials class that we're going to be offering as well. There are many people in the room. We don't know where you're at spiritually. We don't know where you're at on your kind of faith journey with Jesus. Some of you, maybe you've just come to faith in Jesus, or maybe you're still exploring, and that's okay. If you're here today and you're still trying to figure out this whole Jesus thing, we love that here. We love to be able to come alongside of you and point you to the truth about who Jesus is. And so that Gospel Essentials class is going to be a great opportunity for anybody who just wants to get rooted in understanding who Jesus is, who he calls you to be, what it means to be part of the church, right? So there's going to be some really great modules in that for you. And I would encourage you to prayerfully consider signing up for that. Along with that, a couple of other things, and I'll move through these quickly. We're going to have sign up for life groups if you're not in a life group and that's something you're interested in. Our life groups are 8 to 12 people. Really, those are centered around care and fellowship and connecting with other people in our church. As our church grows bigger, we want to make sure that it continues to remain small and give you an opportunity to have your little, you know, your people, your family within the family, right? So I would encourage you to check that out. We also are going to be starting something new called, we're just calling community group nights. And so there's, again, a lot of people here who maybe you're not in a group. Maybe you've been coming to True North now for a little while. Maybe it's been a couple of months and you still haven't been able to connect into a group. We want to provide an opportunity where you can come meet some other newer people here at True North. We're going to study the sermon questions throughout the semester. And then at the end of that time, hopefully, we're going to be able to try to connect you into a life group where you can begin to plug in on a more consistent basis. And so really, that's open to anybody. If you're newer, certainly that's the target there. But anybody who wants to come out for community night, you are welcome to come out and join us for that. And so there's a sign up for that. And then finally, there's a couple other signups out there for baptism, if you've never been baptized before, for our membership class that's coming up in just a few weeks. If you want to put a stake in the ground and say, yeah, this is my church, I want to be on mission with True North Church. There's a mission trip offering that we're offering this year in November. I encourage you to take a look at that. But ultimately, here's what I want you to hear more than anything is, we absolutely believe that you taking a next step is a vitally important part of your process of growing and maturing as a disciple and as a follower of Jesus. And so we're encouraging you to do that this morning. But on that note, we are calling this Vision Sunday, and I'm really excited about the message that I get to share with you this morning. This is a message that has really been truly kind of percolating in my heart now for about 6 months. And I'm so excited to share what I get to share with you this morning. I want to begin with a question. If I went around the room and asked right now, what is the primary mission that Jesus left to his people, to his church, what would you say? Well, what's the primary mission that Jesus gave to every one of his followers? Well, first of all, let's talk about what Jesus did not say. Jesus did not say, all authority, this is the Great Commission, all authority has been given to me, therefore go to church every Sunday. He didn't say that. He didn't say, all authority has been given to me, therefore get in a life group today. He didn't say, all authority has been given to me, therefore start serving on a ministry team at your church. He didn't even say, all authority has been given to me, therefore go and start reading your Bibles. What? Now, I'm not saying that any of those things are bad in and of themselves. In fact, I would say every one of those things that I just talked about is actually an essential part of being a follower of Jesus. All of those things will help you to grow as a follower of Jesus. But none of those things are what Jesus commanded his followers to do. What did Jesus say? What did he actually say then? He said, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples. That's the mission. That's the command. Jesus says, go make disciples. And I've had this awakening, truly, over the last 6 months or so. Jesus never called us to simply join an organization. He never called us to institute a bunch of spiritual habits, even though those things, there's nothing wrong with those things. He called us to do one very simple thing, make disciples. And yet here is the stunning truth that I have realized about my own life and that I'm realizing about the church as a whole. If I were again to go around the room and ask this room, how many of you at any point in your life have actually made a disciple? Have gone through the process, the act of actually helping somebody else develop as a follower of Jesus. The startling truth here is if I polled the average Christian, very few have ever done that ever in their life, and they're probably not doing it right now. And even sadder to me, and this is where I have felt this tremendous conviction, I don't think the church is doing a very good job of equipping the body of Christ to do this, right? Because what do? Here's what we do. We create this environment on Sunday morning where we come and we worship together and we sing songs and we hear a message, right? We may even tell people, hey, go home and read your Bibles, right? Get in a small group, start giving, start serving, and that's discipleship. We're done now, right? But the reality is the true hard work of discipleship begins when you leave this place. This place is a training ground. This is a place where we equip you to actually do the thing, the one thing that Jesus commanded us to do. And so that's why all those things are still important, but at the end of the day, are not the actual mission. And so what I want as we head into 2026 here is I want to be a different kind of church. I want to be a church that has a culture, a true culture of disciples making disciples. You see, it's one thing to follow Jesus. And I think there's so many people in our church. Can I just give you some kudos for a second? I think there's so many people in our church who are really passionate about following Jesus. I see it every day. It's inspiring. And I love to see that. We have a lot of people who are following Jesus passionately. But there is something missing. There's a step that's missing. Most people rarely go beyond following Jesus themselves to actually helping other people to follow Jesus. And so as we begin, I want you to know this. This is gonna be our highest priority as a church. Not just this year, but for as long as this church exists and as long as I am the leader and the shepherd of this church, this is going to be our highest priority. How are we going to become a people, a culture in this church who actually makes disciple makers? Today, I just wanna lay that foundation. I wanna cast a little bit of vision for how we're going to do that. And so where do we start, right? Like that's the question. Well, the great news is we have the most prolific disciple maker as our model, as our example, who ever lived. Jesus Christ, right? He is the first disciple maker, and he is the one who put in motion and established the plan for how we make disciples. And so we got to look to him first. The beautiful thing for me in this is I don't have to come up with this. I don't have to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to come up with some system. Jesus created a perfect system for how to do this. And guess what? For 2,000 years, it's been working really effectively. And so I want to look at how Jesus did disciple making. What was his strategy? How he was intentional in this and how simple it really is. And so if you brought something to write with today, I want to encourage you, take some notes as we work through some of this content. Number one, how did Jesus make disciples? Well, he invited his disciples to follow him daily, to follow Jesus daily. That is the first step. If you want to be a disciple maker, if you're gonna make disciples, well, you have to be following Jesus yourself first. How do you lead somebody where you haven't already gone, where you aren't willing to go yourself? I love this. The Gospels record over 20 times when Jesus called people to simply follow him. Follow me, he said. He said this regularly. One of the most probably well-known moments when Jesus called some people to follow him happened in Matthew 4, 18 to 20, look at this with me. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and they followed him. And so the first thing I want us to see here in this text, as Jesus is calling these first followers, is who these guys were. Who were they? They were fishermen. They're fishermen. And so they had a very specific purpose in their lives. They're building this fishing business, probably alongside of their father. And as they built this fishing business, they probably had grand plans for their lives. We're gonna build this thing up. We're gonna make a lot of money. We're gonna have a lot of money to pass on to our kids. We're gonna build this business and pass it down. And we're gonna be really successful, and life is gonna be grand and great. And all of a sudden though, Jesus comes along, and what does he say to them? He says, put down your nets. Drop everything that you're doing and come and follow me. Come and follow me, he says. In other words, the old way that you were living, the old thing that you were doing, you have to let that go in order to step into something new. Who you thought you were is no longer who you are going to be. And this is an essential understanding for us. If you are a follower of Jesus in the room this morning, once you come into faith in Jesus Christ, once you put your trust in him, you believe he's my savior, he has saved me, he loves me, he has poured out his grace on me, from that point forward, you have a new identity. You are no longer fill in the blank, whatever you thought you were. These guys are no longer fishermen. He's gonna turn them into something different. He's gonna give them a new purpose, a new mission, right? You've gotta be willing to let go of your old life. And for some of us in the room today, maybe that's the first thing we need to hear. If you want to follow Jesus, you put the past behind and you're all in on Jesus in the future. That's who he calls us to be. Second of all, though, following Jesus is not simply about gaining knowledge of who he is. What did Jesus say to them? Did he say, come and sit and listen to me teach? That's not what he said, is it? No, he said, come and follow me. To follow someone, that's action being taken. You're walking alongside. You're pursuing Jesus as he goes. It's so much more than just getting knowledge, right? He didn't say, listen to me. He said, follow me. And I want us to hear this again today. Jesus is all about imitation, not just information. That's what following is, right? Following Jesus is about imitating who he is, how he lived, how he walked, the way he talked. That's what following is. And for many Christians, here's what I think following is. It's just information. It's just gain more information, get more understanding about who God is, about who Jesus is. But oftentimes the information does not translate to transformation because we don't really imitate Jesus. And so at the end of the day, here's what it's really about. Here's what following is about. It's about completely aligning our lives to the will of God, to Jesus Christ, to him, and stepping into this new way of doing things. It's to do what he did. That's what it means to follow. To do what he actually did. That's what he calls us to do. And so number one, again, I hope you marked that down. Jesus invited people to come and follow him. Follow Jesus daily. But then he did something else. He modeled how to form a few intentionally. He formed a few intentionally. So what did Jesus do when he began his ministry, right? Yeah, he started to preach and teach and he was speaking to the masses, but what did he do? He called 12 people to come and follow him on the inner circle. And then out of those 12, he took 3 people, just 3. And he really heavily invested in those 3, Peter, James, and John. He took a whole huge crowd of people. He got it down to 12, and then he got it down to 3. And he began to form them. And how did he do that? Again, I want us to see this today. He invited them into active training. What does that mean? What does active training look like? He invited them to actually get in the muck, in the mire with him. He invited them to come along on little missionary journeys that he was having and watch and learn and see how he did things. He eventually invited them to actually put it into practice as he watched and oversaw them and guided them. And then eventually he sent them out to do it themselves. That's what he did. This was his model, right? He didn't just sit and teach them. He wanted them to watch and to learn. I think about Peter, James, and John, right? These three guys that he spent the most amount of time with. There's multiple instances in the Gospels where we see him doing this. There's an account in Luke chapter 8 where Jesus goes to the house of a man named Jairus whose daughter has died. And he takes these three guys with him, only those three, nobody else, her parents and these three guys. And he allows them to experience that and see that and watch how he interacted in that moment. The transfiguration is another example, right? Jesus goes up on the mountaintop. He has this moment where he's transfigured and his glory is on full display. And he has this encounter with Moses and Elijah. And guess who's there with Jesus? Guess who he takes up on the mountaintop? Peter, James, and John, no one else. In the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus goes to pray before he's about to be betrayed and put on the cross, he goes in to pray. And who does he bring with him? Peter, James, and John. He's inviting them into this active training to watch, to learn, to be a part of what he's doing. And so he does that first, but then he doesn't stop there. I love this about Jesus. About a year into his ministry with them, he actually sent them out two by two to begin going and putting it into practice, to actually go and practice what he was teaching them, right? He did that before he sent them out and commissioned them for the final time, right? Why did he do that? Because he wanted to make sure he could oversee what they were doing, watch, give them feedback. I'm sure when those guys came back from their 3 or 4 month journey that they went on to do mission work, when they came back, Jesus sat down and he had some conversations with them and he talked about all the different ways that maybe they could get a little bit better. They unpacked all of that, right? He guided them, actively guided them through that process. And then finally, he did commission them and sent them out for good. After he died and was resurrected, Matthew 28, 18 to 20, the Great Commission says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And surely I am with you to the very end of the age. If you are a follower of Jesus, make no mistake about it, then you are called to be a disciple maker. That challenge was not just for the 12. That challenge was for every disciple who calls themselves a follower of Jesus. And this is something that I think we've got to wrap our minds around. There is no separating disciple from disciple maker. If you are a disciple, you are a disciple maker. You can't separate those two things. Being a disciple means you are a disciple maker. Jesus makes that very, very clear. And so what does he do? He calls them to follow him daily. He calls them to form a few intentionally. And then finally, what did he say to those first fishermen that he called? He said, I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus is brilliant. Brilliant. I mean, just think about the power of that imagery, of that illustration. Right? He says, I'm gonna make you fishers of men. What did he do? He called his disciples to fish regularly. Every single disciple, you are now a fisher of men. Whatever it was you were doing, maybe you weren't a fisherman before you knew Jesus. Maybe you were a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, whatever you identified as before, that's not your identity anymore. You are now a fisher of men. That's who he's called you to be. Everywhere Jesus went, right? Read the Gospels. Look at how Jesus lived his life. What's he doing? Everywhere he goes, he's calling more people. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come be a part of this. Come see the amazing good news that I have for you. I love you. I desire for you to be part of my kingdom. I want to train you up. I want to equip you. I want to send you out with great purpose on the greatest mission that you will ever go on. He's inviting. He's fishing regularly. Look at Matthew 4:19. He said, come follow me and I will send you out to fish for people. We are following Jesus daily. We are forming a few intentionally. We are fishing regularly. That's Jesus' discipleship making model. It's so unbelievably simple. And while Jesus absolutely preached to big crowds, I mean, he did. We saw that, right? We know that he preached to probably nearly 20,000 people at the Sermon on the Mount. We know that he preached to thousands and thousands of people everywhere that he went. He was getting his message out that way, but where did Jesus actually spend the majority of his time? I want us to see this morning. Where did he spend the majority of his time? It wasn't in front of the crowds. It wasn't in front of the masses. It was with a few guys, pouring into them, investing into them, training them up so that they could go change the world. That's Jesus' world-changing strategy. Making disciples who make disciples. 2,000 years later, this is why there are Christians everywhere. Because they took that seriously and they began to do that and began to multiply themselves. And this is so counter to the world that we live in, isn't it? Really, stop and think about this with me for a second. This does not jive with the way the world does things. Our world says, get a big platform. Get the biggest platform you can get. Get on TikTok and get millions of followers. Get on Instagram, get millions of followers. Get in front of a large crowd of people in a stadium and preach to them there. Get on television. That's how you're gonna change the world. And again, I'm not saying there's anything necessarily wrong with that. Jesus did preach to the crowds. But where true deep life transformation happened, make no mistake about it, was in that individual relational discipleship process that he went through with these guys. At the end of the day, we can get as many followers as we want. We can preach to as big a stadiums as we want, and that might gain a large number of fans. But I don't believe that's gonna produce real, genuine followers of Jesus. I don't. And I've seen it because I've experienced it. Jesus understood the power of this. He understood the power of starting small, but going deep with people. And I want you to think about just how multiplication works. Three guys, right? Three guys he really invested in. 12 on a little bit broader scale, right? If just those three guys went and found three guys to tell them about Jesus, begin to disciple them, begin to show them what it looks like to follow him, and then send them out to go and find three more people. And then those three eventually went out and found three more people. Do you see how the multiplication effect works? Three turns into nine, nine turns into 27, 27 turns into, I don't know, I'm not good at math. Is it 81? Right, it keeps multiplying, right? And imagine like how quickly that turns into thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people if everybody just took that seriously. And that's what I wanna see take root in our church. For us to simply just get serious about the one thing that Jesus actually called us to do. Do I want you to come to church? Of course. Yes, please come here. You're hearing this message today. There's value in this. I believe that. There's value in us getting together as the body of Christ, encouraging one another, keeping each other accountable, right? Not being out there on your own, a sheep separated from the flock who's an easy target, but here with the body, working together on mission together. There's power in all the churchy things that we do, but at the end of the day, all of those things we're doing them so that we can make disciple makers. And again, if we're not doing that, I think we're missing the mark. We're missing the mark of who Jesus has called us to be. And so I am convinced of this. This is not about another program that we're adding to our church. We don't need another program in our church. The church does not need another program. We got enough programs. Programs are good, programs serve their purpose, but at the end of the day, programs are in place to help people reach other people. That's the mission of the church. We don't need another program. What we need is deep down in our soul, at the core of who we are, an understanding that this is who Jesus has called me to be as his follower. It's an identity issue. This is who I am for the rest of my life, till my dying breath. I am going to follow, form, and fish, and I'm never gonna stop. That's my challenge for us. And as we go into 2026 and beyond, that's the culture that I wanna see take root in our church. The fact of the matter is, this is hard work. It's actually a lot easier to just create a program to hold a Sunday service, this 1 hour kind of event that we do on Sunday. It's much easier to do that and say, hey, come to this thing once a week for an hour, check the box and go home. That's easy. That's easy work. And you want to know what I think? I think that's the reason that the church in America is struggling so much to actually do this like disciple making thing. Because it's hard. It's really hard. It requires a great sacrifice on our part to begin to actually do that and live this out. And so here's the question. Let's just get down to the brass tacks this morning. Let me ask you three questions actually in one. Are you following Jesus daily? First question. What does that look like for you? That's the first step. You can't lead somebody where you're not willing to go yourself. Are you following Jesus daily? Are you forming anybody intentionally? Who in your life are you actually forming? Because that's the mission. That's who Jesus called us to be. Who are you fishing for regularly? Are you fishing? Are you sharing the gospel with friends, family, people in your neighborhood, people at your place of work? Are you following? Are you forming? Are you fishing? And you might be thinking right now, I know what you're thinking. What does that look like for me? How do I do that? We just talked about it. Jesus makes it so simple. He makes it unbelievably simple. And here's what I'm convinced of. If it's not simple, it's not sustainable. It won't be. If it's this complicated system, this complicated program, it won't be sustainable. And so here's how we're going to do it here at True North Church. Now I want to get really practical with you, okay, for the last couple of minutes here. How are we going to do this here? How are we going to form a culture of disciple making in our church? Number one, we're going to challenge you to read a chapter a day and soap journal. That's our method. That's our process. What is that? Some of you are new and you're like, what does that mean? SOAP is an acronym: Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. When you read the word, this is what I did for many years. Sometimes I would listen to it. It'd go right like one in one ear and out the other. I might pick up a little nugget, but I don't even think about it the rest of the day. Or maybe I read a couple of verses or try to read three chapters, right? And it's too much. And then I'm overwhelmed by the amount of content. And I don't actually apply anything to my life because it's too much. Here's what SOAP journaling does. Again, I am convinced of this because I've seen it work in my own life. It forces you to slow down. It forces you to take time to really think about, what is God saying? What is he saying to me? And what am I supposed to do with this information? Because again, right, we've talked about this. Information does not produce transformation on its own. You got to actually apply it. You got to do something with it. You got to put it into action. And so around here at True North Church, this is what we're going to beat that drum every single day. A chapter a day for the rest of your life, soap journaling through the Bible. Watch how it begins to transform your relationship. And then as you begin to do that, just live obediently to what you are studying. Actually live it out, right? Be motivated to live out the gospel that you are reading about every single day. That's the first step. That's how we follow Jesus daily. Here's what's stunning to me. I was a person at one point in my life, this is embarrassing to admit, I was a pastor who did not read my Bible regularly. I read it to study for messages when I had to preach, but I wasn't consistently, daily, deep into the Word of God for a long time. And if I wasn't, as a pastor, here's what I know. Because I'm talking to people regularly, I'm asking that question regularly, how's your Bible reading time going? There are so many people who are followers of Jesus who are not, that's the first step. That's the foundation of what you do as a follower, is just to begin to get in the Word of God. That's how we understand who he is. That's how we follow Jesus. We don't have the physical Jesus here with us, do we? No, but he gave us his word. And in John 1, it says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The word, when we read the Bible, we're following Jesus. We're pursuing Jesus. And so if we're not doing that, that first basic thing, that's the first step. The great news is, this is, you can get any Bible reading plan you want. You can go on YouVersion if you want to use that, make that your Bible reading plan. You can go get one somewhere else online. You can buy some book. We have a resource that we created for you called the Path Journal. You can use that. You don't have to, but you could use that, right? It's so unbelievably simple. A chapter a day, soap journal. A chapter a day, soap journal. for the rest of your life. That's who you are. It's not just what you do, it's who you are. Whether you're a part of True North Church or not. Many of you, this is a very transient place. You're here for a season and then you're gone. What's the most important thing that I can teach you? Yeah, I can get up here and we can do sermon series and we can work through books of the Bible and you'll learn a lot. But when you leave here, the most important thing that I can do is teach you to be a self-feeding disciple, to learn how to be passionate about reading the Word of God and studying the Word of God. That's the most important thing that I can do. So number one, we're gonna read a chapter a day and soap journal. That's how we follow Jesus. Number two, we are always forming a few intentionally. We are gonna be a people who are forming others. Now in our culture, right, we think about this for a second. We don't live in the culture that Jesus and his disciples lived in, do we? Right? Like, I can't just grab three guys and be like, hey, just follow me around 24/7. That doesn't work in this culture, in this day and age, right? I can't do that now. But we can adjust this for our cultural context in this cultural moment that we live in. And so here's the model that we're going to use at True North Church. You're going to invite 2 to 3 people. And I do think there's power in 2 to 3. One-on-one can work, but I think it's so much more powerful when you get 2, 3, 4 people in a really small group. We're gonna invite 2 to 3 people into what we call a discipleship formation group. Very, very simple. And the whole purpose of that discipleship formation group is multiplication. We're gonna do this for a certain amount of time. Maybe it's 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, depending on where that person is spiritually, the people that you're working with. We're gonna grab them and we're gonna begin to form each other. And there's an iron sharpens iron thing that goes along with this, right? And so how are we gonna do that? How are we gonna make that simple, right? If it's not simple, it won't be sustainable. We build on what we're already doing. I invite them to come and to meet with me once a week for an hour. And all we're gonna do is we're gonna read a chapter a day and we're gonna soap journal. That's it. Teach those 2 or 3 people to read a chapter a day and begin soap journaling. And then when we come together, we're gonna use a set of formation questions. Questions like, hey, what has God been teaching you from your daily reading? How has he been inspiring you to act on that daily reading? Talk to me about the ways he's transforming your heart, right? Answer some other questions. Discuss real world challenges, how our faith should intersect with the world. How we should be making decisions. What should the heart postures of our life be? What are the idols that need to be rooted out, right? Just talk about what God is doing in your life and sharpen each other. And then again, after about 6 to 12 months, depending on maturity level, hey guys, I need you to be praying about, I need you to be thinking about 2 to 3 others that you're gonna go do this with. And you're gonna do this for the rest of your life. You're never going to stop because it's not a program. It's not a program. It's who we are. It's who I am as a follower of Jesus. I am following him daily and I am forming a few intentionally at all times. All times. Finally, we are always fishing for others to form. We're fishing for others to form. I'm thinking about at all times, who in my life could I invite into this? Who in my life could I invite in to form? And to help them understand how to become a self-feeding disciple, to pursue God's word on their own so they don't need me forever. And then they can go and they can teach somebody else to do that and multiply themselves and form others. Who is that in our life? We should be thinking about that, praying about that at all times. We are always fishing for others. Always. And we're challenging, when we're in our discipleship group, we're challenging those 2 or 3 people to be thinking about who those people are. Right? I'm always looking for people I can share the gospel with. One quick note here. You're gonna have people on a wide spectrum in your life if you do this, right? If you actually take this seriously, what we're talking about here this morning, you're gonna have some people, they don't know Jesus at all. You're gonna have some people who maybe they're further along in the process. You might have even some people who are mature believers. I guarantee this, there are mature believers in the room right now who've never done this, who've never actually really intentionally discipled anybody else. What's important to recognize and understand is the beauty of this, the simplicity of this is, just take it as it comes. You work with people where they're at. You might need to work with some people longer than others. That's okay. It's not something where you go, I gotta do this in 9 months and then I'm done, or I gotta do this in 6 months and then I'm done. Why? Again, it's not a program. is a process. It's an identity that we take on, right? And so this is who you are for the rest of your life. This is who you are. You are someone who follows. You are someone who forms. You are someone who fishes. I want to give you a testimony from my own life. I shared this just very briefly a couple of weeks ago in our year-end message. But I was a pastor who never really took this seriously for a very long time and then got super convicted about it last year and decided, you know what? Something's got to change. How can you know this is the most important command that Jesus has given us to live out and you not be doing it? And then how can you possibly go to your congregation, your people, and challenge them to do it if you're not going to do it yourself? I won't do it. I don't want to be that guy. So I had to take it seriously myself. And so I began to do this. Get up early on my day off sometimes and meet with some guys. Help form them, right? It's not part of my job description, right? Because I know what some of you are thinking. Well, you're the pastor. You get paid to make disciples, right? Certainly you can build that into your work week. No, I really can't. I don't have time. It's not going to fit in my 40 to 45 hours or 50 hours a week. It's not. It's got to be extra and on top of that. But it has been one of the most life-giving things that I've done. You want to know why? Because that's who God created us to be. And when you live in your purpose, your God-given purpose, you get filled with joy as you do that. It's been so amazing to be a part of discipling others in this way, in this kind of smaller but deeper way. And so here's what I know you're thinking right now. Here's some, honestly, I'm just gonna cut right to the chase. Here's some excuses that we're gonna try to make as you're listening to this whole spiel, because I know the excuses I would try to make if I was sitting in your seat right now, because I've made them. I've done it myself, right? One, well, I'm already in a life group. I'm already in a life group, so I really don't have time to be doing this disciple-making thing. I mean, isn't that what life groups are for anyway? For disciple-making and multiplication? Well, here's what I've learned the hard way through several years of leading this church and trying to figure out this whole life group thing. Life groups, by their very design, work against multiplication. Why? Because you get connected to these people and you love them and you don't want to split from them. You don't want to take your group and split it up, right? You like these people. In fact, you might even love these people. You're hanging out with them regularly. You're breaking bread with them. Yeah, you might be doing Bible study with them. I don't want to split up from them. The whole purpose of life groups is not multiplication. It's connection and care and fellowship. And yes, maybe some study in there. But what life groups don't produce is multiplying, self-feeding disciple makers. It's a different purpose. And at the end of the day, here's what life groups are at True North Church. That's a program. That's one of our programs that we have here to help people connect and grow, yes, but it doesn't produce disciple makers. That's what we've learned here, right? It's different. It's who you are. This is something you're going to do no matter where you go or how much time or lack of time you have in your life, because this is who Jesus called us to be. How about this one? I don't know enough about the Bible to lead a discipleship group. Can I tell you something? Jesus called his disciples. If you actually look at the timeline of the amount of time Jesus spent with his disciples, he spent 3 years with them. That's it. Just 3 years. And within less than a year, he was sending them out 2 by 2 to go do ministry. Less than a year. And they didn't have the Bible. They didn't even have the Bible. They just went out, they took the gospel that Jesus proclaimed to them, some of the simple truths that he proclaimed to them, and they started to proclaim it to others. Do you think they did it perfectly? You think they had it all right every time they did everything? No, they messed up sometimes. Sometimes they didn't have the answer. And they had to go back to Jesus and say, "What? I got this question, I don't know how to answer it." It's okay not to know everything. Here's the bottom line. If you need to be ready and know enough about the Bible to begin to disciple others, let me tell you right now, you're never gonna be ready. You're never gonna be ready. I study the Bible for a living. There's still some days I'm reading the word and I'm like, whoa, I did not know that. That's blowing my mind right now. How did I not know that at this point? It's okay not to know everything. The point is not to know everything. when you're teaching somebody else. The point is, can you help them be a self-feeding disciple so that they can learn and grow? You're only gonna be with them for so long anyway. You can't teach them everything they need to know about the Bible. Teach them the most important fundamental thing, to pursue the word of God and to love the word of God. And they'll learn and they'll self-feed and they'll grow on their own without you after they move on and begin to do the same thing that you did with them. You don't have to know it all. Here's the qualifications. Ready? Do you understand the gospel? Do you understand the gospel? What Jesus Christ did for you? I was a sinner, lost, broken, fallen, weak, and in desperate need of a savior. And Jesus came along and said, I love you enough to die for you, to put myself in your place so that you can live forever in heaven with me and my heavenly Father. And I'm gonna put a new spirit in you, and I'm gonna give you hope and a new purpose and a future. And it transformed my life. Can you articulate that? Can you just talk about what Jesus Christ has done for you? If you know the gospel and you are willing to keep learning about who Jesus is, you're qualified. You're qualified. That's the starting point, and it's the foundation, and it's really, at the end of the day, that's the thing that will drive everything else. Then you're qualified. All right, last one. I don't have time for another thing in my life. This is the last excuse. And I think in our culture, this day and age, this is the biggest one. I don't have time for another thing in my life. And I'm gonna push back on that hard this morning. Really hard. I've said it multiple times. I'm gonna say it one more time. This is not another program that you add to your life. This is not another event that you have to go to every single week. This is who you are. I cannot say that more loudly or clearly. This is who you are. You are someone, as a follower of Jesus, who follows daily, forms a few intentionally, fishes regularly. That's who you are. And wherever you are, whatever you do, whatever season of life you're in, your primary purpose is to make disciples. And so my kind of pushback and my question would be, you know what, if we're too busy to do the one thing, the literal one thing, the main command that Jesus commanded us to do, then we're too busy. And maybe we need to reevaluate our priorities. Because my main priority as a follower of Jesus is to make disciples. That's it. It's that simple. Here's the truth. Come on, I'm thinking about this week in my own life. We spend how many hours watching a football game on Sunday? And it's not even just the game, right? It's an hour of prep before that, making food for the game, and then cleaning up for it afterwards, right? It's a 5-hour event every Sunday for 6 months. And we say we don't have enough time to spend an hour a week with two or three guys or two or three ladies, investing in them and pouring into them and helping them become a disciple maker. I'm sorry. I'm calling our bluff. I don't believe it. It's a priority issue. It's not a time issue. And this is I had to face this own conviction in my own life. This is who we are called to be. And so I'm gonna close with this. If the only thing I ever teach you in the time that you spend with us here at True North Church, whether this is your first time here and you never come back ever again, or you're here for years, if I teach you nothing else, it is to take this seriously in your life. It's to be the disciple making disciple that Jesus Christ has called every one of his followers to be. If I just do that, and it's all I ever did, it would be an unbelievable, tremendous win for this church and for the kingdom. I'm certain of that. Because if every single person in this room takes this message to heart today, I mean, there's gotta be 100 people sitting in here. Multiply that times 3 right away, bam. If it's 100 people, 300, just like that. 900, 1800, or whatever, 2700. Told you, I'm bad at math. That's why I became a preacher. Right? Imagine the multiplication effect that happens if we will follow, form, and fish. That's my hope, and that's my prayer for us today. And ultimately, the last thing I want to say is this. You know why I'm so passionate about this? Because Jesus has changed my life. He's transformed me. And there have been people along the way who've invested and poured into me and changed my life. And my hope and prayer is, here's why we do this. Because if you're sitting here hearing, well, here's all the things I got to do to check the box to be a good Christian, we're missing the point. I do this out of a heart that is motivated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why I do this. It's the only right motivation. I do this because I want others to experience the freedom that I have found in the gospel. And if you're here today and you don't know what that is, man, I want to have a conversation with you today. Don't leave. Let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about the hope he's given me. Let me tell you about what he did, how he sacrificed for me and for so many others, and ultimately for you, if you will put your faith and trust in him as Savior. He says, turn from the things of this world. You've been looking to the things of this world to give you what only God can give you. Turn to him and watch how he begins to change your life. That's what we're about here at True North Church. We want that for you. And church, man, let's go. Let's go from this place today. And let's begin to be a people who follow, form, and fish. Amen? Amen. Father God, I thank you and I praise you for this vision that you have given to our church. God, for opening up my eyes, my heart, for opening our elders' minds and hearts, Lord, and just putting this on us as the number one priority of what we need to do. God, I do pray that there would be a sweeping move of disciple-making, of multiplication that happens in our church as we take this seriously, Father. God, I pray that you would use our leadership to continue to come alongside of people in our church to help them do this well and to do this simply and sustainably, Lord. Father, I do pray for every person in the room who does not have a relationship with you. God, I pray right now they would know how much they are loved, how much grace you have for them, that there's nothing they've ever done or could do to make you love them any less. You proved that on the cross by sending your son to die for us. You want them to be a part of your kingdom. And you invite them to come and to follow you and to walk alongside of you and see their lives changed. God, I pray that over this place this morning. We love you, Father. It's in Jesus' holy and amazing and perfect name we pray. Amen.